Hello, and welcome back to DebtWired. I'm your host, Amelia Weitzman, and I cover direct lending at DebtWire Europe. In this episode, you'll hear from Ambrish Dash and Will Nevin, who are both partners within Herbert Smith Freehills' banking and finance division. Will is a London-based partner with over 20 years of experience in acquisition and leverage finance, and Ambrish is also a partner in the London office, specialising in domestic and cross-border leverage finance, particularly advising private equity sponsors and financial institutions on acquisition financings. We'll hear their views on recent trends in the financial institutions market, or FIG as it's referred to, with a focus on private credit. Let's start at the beginning. Will, could you please give us an overview of the role private credit is playing in FIG transactions recently?
Sure, Amelia. It's an interesting and competitive space in the mid-market. On our last two processes in 2024, including the current LBO of Isio, we've seen intense competition both on the M&A side and then with the debt funds to win that lender mandate.
That's right. So we are seeing a large number of debt funds being brought forward through the lender education process on such transactions. And while you do expect to see the same usual names that you normally see on transactions, we're also beginning to see new names beginning to creep in. And these are some debt funds who are beginning to specialize in this sector, but also some who are just casting the net very wide to find very good quality assets across sectors generally.
Agreed. And I think that's a direct result of the rapid explosion of debt funds and also direct lending arms of investment banks. Many of these institutions are keen to consider a good story, even if they haven't acted as lenders on a FIG LBO previously.
I think that's right. But generally, I think the point, Amelia, is that sponsors are not complaining about this. They are very happy to see such wide interest from lenders. It helps drive competition. And most sponsors these days anyway prefer to have more than one debt fund in the structure, which supports the buy and build strategies, which is a key investment thesis in this sector. Do you agree with that, Bill?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
And Ambrish, what are the key recent trends you're seeing in the structure of FIG transactions, particularly in terms of deal size and complexity?
That's a very good question. So the trends we are seeing in the broader private credit-backed LBO space is also what we are seeing in the FIG space as well. Most recent mid-market LBO financings have generally been within the 5.25 to 6 times leverage. Pricing reflects this leverage, but also the wider pressures from increased competition, both within the industry and from the broadly syndicated loan market opening up. So 500 to 550 basis points has been the case all most of last year, early this year. And as you know, we are seeing sub 500 basis points margin also starting to appear in certain sectors, especially for very good credit and on larger deals. So we expect that to sort of be the trend which we will continue to see in the FIG space as well. That's just, you know, it's just sector agnostic. In terms of complexity, mainly it's the FCA regulatory aspects. And I think, Will, you've had some recent experience with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's right. It's the FCA regulation that leads to some of the particular features in these deals. So as a preliminary matter, advisors need to factor in FCA approval, both to the M&A timetable, but also to the debt availability period. This can take up to 6 months or even more during busy periods for the regulator. On the commercial side, it has resulted in some debt funds raising ticking fees where the M&A timetable is long or it may be uncertain. But I think, Ambrish, in most cases, we're seeing sponsors successfully push back on that.
Absolutely. Ticking fees is not acceptable in the mid-market. You need to have a particularly crazy timetable for sponsors to even entertain the idea.
I'd also like to hear if either of you have noticed any significant changes in the appetite of private credit funds for FIG transactions this year.
Yes, I think appetite's definitely increased. Once again, this is consistent with the broader private credit-backed LBO market. We think that FIG is a relatively stable sector. I think it's certainly less volatile than certain other sectors, such as retail and consumer.
That's right. And when you add that stability of the sector to what we are seeing in the pipeline already, we are aware of some and we are hearing whispers of other very quality assets coming into the market, the appetite will remain strong. There are not many other sectors where we are seeing such stable assets coming. Some are more better than others, but in general, the sector is more stable than other sectors. And when you add to that also the fact that, you know, US private equity firms are increasingly more interested in competing for mid-market assets in this sector, in financial services sector, in UK and across Europe, that just is a sign of the deal activity being very, very healthy in the coming years. And that will just result in more private credit firm activity as well.
Absolutely. And on that same topic, I suppose, which subsectors within the financial institutions market are attracting the most attention from private credit investors right now, would you say?
So I think we would say that private credit lenders essentially follow the same subsectors as their PE sponsor clients. Breaking that down, I mean, wealth and asset management has been traditionally one of the more active subsectors in this area. But I think just in very recent months, it feels like that's beginning to slow down a bit, Ambrish.
I agree with that. So the new flavor of the month seems to be split between insurance brokers and audit accountancy firms. We're seeing a lot of activity in these two areas, especially. And in addition to that, we also are seeing a wider trend emerging, primarily out of the US, where firms are more focused on consulting firms and in the pensions advisory subsector. So these are what we think is the new emerging areas of interest for private equity, and very excited to see how the market develops in this.
And how would you say lenders are approaching private credit deals involving FIG entities? And has it always been this way?
So we think there are some common features in FIG transactions. As Ambrish mentioned earlier, bolt-on flexibility is often a key aspect of the whole investment thesis. For example, to acquire smaller wealth managers or insurers. And I think debt funds are relatively relaxed about accepting fairly top of the market positions, both on acquisition flexibility and related debt incurrence.
Only if they get a robust write-off, first offer on additional debt, right?
Yeah, I mean, they do love a ROFA. It's actually a relatively easy point, I think, for private equity sponsors to give, as they would ultimately prefer to use their existing lenders anyway, when you think that they're the ones that know the business well already and they've done the diligence.
I agree with that. I think lender pushback has been generally more focused on value leakage and the kind of features that can be used in a, or rather exploited in a liability management exercise. Things like, you know, unrestricted subsidiaries, you know, non-wholly owned subsidiaries, that kind of stuff is what lenders are more focused on than what traditionally you would have expected them to care about, along the lines of calculation flexibilities and covenant adjustments.
I think that's fair. And just on the unrestricted subs point, I think in our recent experience, typically not a problem for sponsors in the mid-market. I think they will often agree to such requests, unless it's on a large liquid transaction where they feel they need it, or if it would impact their particular plans for the asset.
That's right. I think generally, to answer your question, Amelia, on the whole, documentary terms, which includes, you know, the things that sponsors care about, covenant flexibility, calculation flexibilities, adjustments, they're not quite as sponsor-friendly as they were in 2021 and how it looked like the market would evolve back then, but they're still significantly more flexible than what we used to see even as early as 2019. And so the market, as it picks up, as we see more deal activity, as things get more heated and there's more competition across the industry and from the broadly syndicated loan market, sponsors will continue to move these positions. And we do expect to see a bit more of a convergence towards the syndicated loan market terms. And it's just inevitable.
And I have to ask, given the regulatory scrutiny in the financial services sector, how do regulatory frameworks impact the structuring of private credit transactions in the FIG space?
To answer that, one key regulatory impact which overshadows everything else from a structuring perspective is that lenders just cannot get the same benefit of credit support by way of security and guarantees as they're accustomed to in other non-regulated sectors. And Will, you've had to deal with this very recently. So what was your experience on that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Ambrose. So just to explain that point, regulated entities themselves and their subsidiaries fall within what we would describe as a regulatory perimeter. And if you're within that perimeter, you cannot in practice provide guarantees or security over your assets, as it could adversely affect the reg cap treatment of those companies, potentially leading to a reduction in assets for FCA compliance purposes. So not surprisingly, if you're a director of one of those companies, you're not going to be comfortable to provide upstream support in those circumstances. What does that mean in substance for these deals? I think in practice, it can make some of these FIG LBOs more or less like a whole co-financing with security just at the bid co and parent level.
True, yeah. And security with, you know, governance more like the regular financing. So, sure. But lenders that are active in this space, they do get it. They get this point and they understand this is a very specific and unique feature of this sector. And for people who are newer to this sector, it just takes some time, understandably, given it's a key consideration from a credit perspective. But they do generally get to the right place as well, or to the same place, and understand that this is just a regulatory quirk of this sector.
Yeah, and it's probably worth just touching on a couple of other technical features. I think whilst the lenders are allowing flexibility in some areas, such as covenants and calculation flexibility, it's important to mention that they are holding the line in certain areas. So one example of that would be the treatment of cash, which is counted as part of the minimum reg cap buffer of these regulated entities. Lenders are fairly insistent on excluding that from the cash number, which the sponsors can net off their leverage covenant. And we're seeing lenders generally win out on that point, aren't we, Amber?
I mean, yes. I mean, some sponsors handle it differently than others, but usually it's one of those things where in this sector, you expect to give a little bit more than in, for example, tech or retail. It's just another quirk where lenders do care about it because there's a wider regulatory consideration. And I guess one final point in this area would be regarding audit firms, where there's a regulatory requirement for partners to maintain control, 50% or more. And while private equity sponsors can get comfortable with that, you know, they can get robust profit share arrangements or other behind the scenes deals, agreements, which allows them to get to the right economic position they want to be. Lenders, on the other hand, are more focused on what their position would be in a post-enforcement scenario. So this is a very key consideration for them in such transactions. And we see a lot of interesting discussions and debates. And it's the same lenders. We have the same discussion every single time and they'll get to the right place. It's just a discussion that needs to be had.
Going back to your point on new players, what would you say to firms looking to engage in private credit transactions in the FIG space? What would you say are the most important factors to consider when selecting legal and financial partners?
Sure. So I think firstly, as these companies are people-focused businesses, I think sector expertise is an absolutely key factor. Important to emphasize that that's not just for the initial diligence in understanding the target, also to be able to continue to support the sponsor in its strategy and also support the portfolio company itself.
I agree with that. And I would say natural second in line, but you know, together with it is a strong regulatory support. And by that, I mean a team which are experts in understanding the FCA requirements, regulatory requirements generally, and understand how the FCA will handle certain scenarios and situations. But in addition to that, the ability to work cooperatively with the regulator. For example, we've heard horror stories where certain firms have taken an antagonistic approach towards the FCA's questions, queries, and that has just ended up resulting in a very tricky scenario where completion of transactions has been compromised. So you really need a team which not only gets the technical aspects, but also gets the softer, the more human approach towards dealing with the regulator.
Yeah, and Ambrish, we should also mention at this point that we obviously have the sector expertise and regulatory support in abundance.
Great plug, Phil.
Absolutely. And looking forward, do you think we'll see private credit continue to grow as a dominant source of capital for FIG in the coming years?
We think, yes, I think definitely in the mid-market. And I think private credit is no longer an alternative option. It's very much in the mainstream.
I agree. And for larger transactions, I think the wider dynamics between the broadly syndicated loan market and private credit over the next couple of years will also apply to FICC transactions. The one thing to mention, though, is given the nature of this sector where buy and build strategies are very key, private credit club is a very compelling option for private equity sponsors. And we expect that to continue to be the case.
Yes, absolutely. And we're both excited to see how the market develops in the coming months.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's sadly all we have time for in this episode. Thank you so much, Ambrish and Will, for being on the show and sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners. If you've missed any episodes, please visit iTunes or Apple Podcasts to catch up on DebtWired. Bye for now.